This episode is brought to you by SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. SendPro Online software makes it easy to save time and money no matter what you ship or mail. Print shipping labels and stamps right from your desk and access discounted rates. Try it for free for 30 days and get a free 10-pound scale when you visit pb.com/TMS. That's pb.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS. Oh, hi. Remember me?
Waterworld got longer.
Coke is pretty sort of happy. What? I wrote that wrong. Coke is pretty. Oh, no, I got it. Coke is pretty sorry about that.
Sort of happy. What bed do you sleep in anyway?
I didn't ask for gold on my pizza.
Mommy, what are those people doing on his garage floor?
Making things with Bill and jury duty and more, son, on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This will be the last warning. Anybody who wants to follow me, keep their account public, or I will block.
Don't let him fall out the window, you hear?
Don't worry, Auntie, I'll watch him.
This is the Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS, February 12th, 2019. Scott, Brian, the same deal every day.
Yeah.
It's like bread and water in prison. You just keep eating it. It's fine.
We're the bread and water of your daily prison. You know, and I did the same thing. I give you crap, and then I said, what are those people doing on his garage floor instead of door?
Oh, did you say floor? I missed it.
I said floor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's
picture people doing something on the floor.
Let's say people, this actually, you're not too far. People are probably doing something on the floor, which is now being projected on the garage door.
On the door, yes.
Yeah. You guys will have to just chew on that until we get to that story, but it's a funny one. Welcome back. It's good to have you all here. And it's Tuesday, so get ready for that, whatever all that means. I have no idea what we're talking to the jury about. I got no plan. I got no nothing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not really in the mood for politics, so I don't know.
Maybe
what
we talked to him about the Oscars thing is like about, a 5-minute discussion about the...
Yeah, that is coming up, though, isn't it?
It is. You know, not just the nominees, but this whole... these four categories that they've just kind of... decided to not show live.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that, actually.
All right, let's talk about that.
We'll hold that. We'll keep that as a possibility unless he goes off on some tangent we can't control. But otherwise...
jury?
Yeah.
You go off on some weird tangent we can't control?
What a weird idea. I can't imagine it. But anyway, that'll be a little bit later in the show. Stick around for that. We got plenty to talk about, though. For example, here's a weird experience. Now, you're all thinking, oh, great, another story Scott's going to tell about something weird that happened to him. This is genuinely weird. And once again, Kim can confirm because she was the one that did it. So here's what happens. Our flooring. We're done with half the house, half the upstairs. Okay? Over the holidays, or before the holidays, Steve and Sarah and Richard and everybody came over and we did a huge chunk of it.
Yeah,
big chunk. But there's half of the upper floor still yet to be done and we have all the stuff for it. But the holidays came, things got busy, people had trips, business stuff, it got crazy, and nobody's had time to do anything. And I can't do it by myself. So, Kim says, you know what we ought to do? Since it's only half the upper floor now, and we've done all the hard work, the clearing out and the getting it ready and everything, why don't we see if somebody will come bid on it? And I said, okay, let's see. I mean, it won't hurt. Let's find out what it would cost to do just the other half. It's got to be less than what the hole would be, right? Wouldn't you think? The hole's going to be more than that.
Just saying, oh my God, I can't do this anymore.
Right. So we wanted to have somebody come in and bid for the half. So we did. Guy comes in, looks familiar. Turns out, it's a dude I used to work with 20-something years ago. Sold me a Honda CRX. and this is the funny bit.
Okay.
Had a crush on my wife.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah. Back in the day. Now, he was pretty young, and so were we, obviously. We had just been married barely, and he was super young, and he was really flirty with her.
Now, did you know back then that he had a crush on your wife, or did you find out
now
that he's working on your floor?
No, I knew. He was very very overt about it. He was very open about his
his
infatuation.
His
which
feelings.
Which was a little creepy and weird, but fine. It was fine. He's a nice, harmless guy at the time.
Sure.
So we weren't that worried about him. Anyway, he's the one that sold me the CRX for a really good deal, and I love that car. But we got it the weekend before we found out Kim was pregnant with Taylor.
Oh, wow.
And because of that, we had to pretty quickly turn around and sell the CRX because,
oh no,
as it turns out, Brian, you can't really fit a family of three in a CRX because there's two bucket seats and that's it. So
I am surprised you can fit one Scott Johnson in a CRX, honestly, because those things are, it's like a,
they're tiny,
just barely bigger than a smart car.
I know. I really love that car, but I do like little tiny cars. There's something about it for me, and it doesn't make any sense because I'm 6 foot four and I shouldn't be in there, but I like them. Anyway, so that was a long, that was a short-lived fun time. But anyway, all these years later, all of a sudden, this guy finds out he owns this flooring and finishing company. Him and his son, who's Taylor's age, roughly. And wait, that wouldn't make sense. How could he be Taylor's age? Because when Kim was, when he was having the crush on Kim, Kim and I were married and pregnant with Taylor.
Just about, yeah, exactly.
He wasn't married yet, and I don't think had a girlfriend. How do we have a kid who's Taylor's age? Now the plot thickens.
Well, could have married a woman who already had a kid.
Oh, could have been, yeah. That's actually true. And now here's the other funny thing.
Other ways of having kids, Scott. Getting children.
So that's a good point. So they have four kids now, and he's just been divorced. So of course in my head I'm going, he's upstairs tooling around in the house with the wife he used to have a crush on. Rah! Like I'm having all these, like,
he's digging through the drawers.
So anyway, he scoped it out, and I think because he knows us and remembers us fondly, he's given us like a screaming deal.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. He could have gone either way, really.
Yeah, it really could have. So now he's going to do it over like a 2-day period. The master bedroom and hall one day, and then the kids' rooms the second day, and then we're done. We're done after that. And it's a little extra cash, but we had a little rainy day hanging around for just this in case, because, you know, family's great. They're awesome. They came and helped. They did their thing. You think you can just count on it always, and sometimes they get busy, and I don't blame them, and I hate asking for help. I hate it. Hate it.
Of course.
I would rather never get help. I am way too independent. It's going to be my undoing one day, because I'll be laying bleeding in the snow and go, I'll be fine. That's what'll happen. I'll say, I'm fine. I'm bleeding out of my major artery, and I'm you know, only have 20% of my blood left, but I'm fine. That's how it'll go. That'll be my death. So anyway, he'll come. He'll do it. It's fine. But yeah, old crush. Not really. I mean, only on his side, but old crush with a little bit of flooring expertise coming into the house next week.
He's going to crush those floors. This is the new crush, Scott.
Yeah, this is all true. And then also found out yesterday one of the most glorious announcements I've heard in months. Like, this is I was already thinking that 2019 was a little short on big, huge bombshells, but we got a major one, and that is this. Waterworld, the 1990s post-apocalyptic classic starring Kevin Costner, a movie I love, and I know full well it's not great, but I love it anyway, is getting a re-release on Blu-ray 4K. With 40 additional minutes of content.
Now, 40? That's crazy. I mean, that is a lot.
It's a lot, considering that movie's already pretty long, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's 2 hours already or more.
I think so. It feels like it anyway.
Yeah. And so 40 additional minutes. Now, Brian, if you had to guess, a lot of people have said, it'll be more paper. A lot of people have said, it'll be more...
Yeah, exactly. 40 minutes of, have you seen paper? Seriously, more paper.
I doubt it's Kim Coates talking about paper. What do you think they're going to add? Dialogue?
It's probably going to be, it is probably going to be like, it's going to be scenes like, here's Kevin Costner sailing for another few minutes, or peeing on another tree, or I can't imagine what they'd add to the story to make it more fleshed out. I'm hoping that's the case, by the way. Here we go. Theatrical cut was 135 minutes, so 2 hours 15 minutes.
Okay, so this is a long
ass
movie.
And this is called the TV cut, which added 40 minutes of new material. So
what?
The TV cut.
No. Yeah, there's no way they have
the link you have in there.
Yeah, it says TV cut in there.
Yeah, it says Disc 2, the TV cut, limited edition exclusive, high-definition Blu-ray presentation of the extended U.S. TV cut, which runs over 40 minutes longer than the theatrical cut.
Who? What TV station said, okay, cool, bring that extra 40 minutes on in here? Like, that doesn't make... That's crazy. Like
HBO or something? I don't know.
That's nuts. So, all right.
But you've ever since... I mean, basically, you've always been watching the DVD or Blu-ray that you have, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watch the normal length one every year. Okay. Every at least once a year, I see it. And I would like to now see this, just because I've never seen this. I didn't know it was a TV cut. That's really weird.
I'm trying to think. Like, all right, look, one of my favorite movies is, and yours as well, is Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, probably the best movie ever made.
If they were to come out and... Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember, you know, like, if they were to come out and say, all right, we've got the new deluxe edition of the Shawshank Redemption, which has 40 minutes of extra footage. I'm not sure how I'd feel if I, like, oh, I feel like it's already a good, you know, a solid movie. Do I want 40 more minutes?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they've edited or they've taken out just as much as they needed to, but...
That's how I feel about Two Towers in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Right. Oh, geez. Well, any of the Lord of the Rings films. I mean, you tell me that there's 40 minutes of extra footage, I'm saying, well, great. I'll never see it.
Well,
I love those movies, but I don't have the... I don't want to go sit down and watch 18 hours of, the trilogy.
Well, the extra... So the director's cut versions of all three I've seen, and I think it does... If you have the time, it helps... Fellowship of the Ring and Return of the King. I think they do okay by it, but I think Two Towers actually suffers from it, and it's long as shit and really boring. So, not a fan usually of this. And you're right about Shawshank. I would feel very differently about that. But there's something because it's, you know what it is. It's because Waterworld isn't a great movie.
You're kind of hoping this makes it better and like makes it so other people say, "Oh, now I get it." It's kind of like the Kingdom of Heaven. Is that the one where? Like the director's cut is so much better than
so
the.
So much better, dude. Yeah. So much better. Yeah. And longer. And it's probably about 40 minutes longer. But but it's an actual director's cut. This is, as far as I know, this is not a director's cut.
Oh. It's J.C. Calhoun has found, and it's not like a, it's not going to be like a link to a Rick Astley video or anything. But he's found what it is. So we've got like 91 extended or alternative scenes. 43 minutes, 12 seconds.
Alternative scenes. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, at 9 minutes and 35 seconds, a few luckless sailors float in their little boats in front of the atoll's gates and try to get in, or atoll's gates. An old man would trade his snow-white hair for a little cup of hydro, but they're not being let in. There's 34 seconds of that. At 9 minutes and 36 seconds, there's an alternate take of the Mariner's arrival.
Oh, yeah, look at all this.
Shot of the view. You can spoil yourself right now and look through this whole thing.
Well, I'm getting it no matter what because I...
Yeah, of course you are.
I just need to know, but also...
You don't have anything you can watch 4K on yet, though, right? You don't have a...
No, I could watch it on... Well, I think that stuff scales down even if I did, though, right? Like, can it...
No, I tried to watch Watchmen 4K. I tried to put that that disc in my... PlayStation,
yeah,
not a pro, but just regular PlayStation 4, and it would not play.
I thought you meant the TV though. It'll scale the TV though.
So oh, like, yeah, the TV, right? Right. Yeah, no, it's just a matter of having a player that'll play it,
right? And I don't currently. I thought about getting an Xbox One X or an S or something just to get the player out of it, but oh yeah, look at there's this. I don't remember this scene. This is interesting. There's more Triple Horn for you. You like her, don't you?
With this cut, she turns into Quadruple Horn.
Yeah, she's got way more horns this time around.
We see not only the back tattoo, but we see the lower back tattoo.
Yeah.
In the theatrical cut.
Oh my gosh, there's a ton of weird scenes that I've... Yeah, okay. Well, here's the bottom line. I have to see it somehow. Yeah. So somebody plex that up, get it going. I want to see it.
Or you could just wait until the Blu-ray comes out or the Blu-ray comes out in when does it come out? Like a month or so?
Well, that's if I want to go spend $300 on a player.
Oh, right. Yes, you need the player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody, dun, dun, dun.
Somebody snag that thing down. Oh, there's a lot, dude. There's a lot in here. They're showing all kinds of scenes of stuff that I never saw. Mm-hmm. All right, well, beyond that, it's a good reminder, everybody, to go watch that movie because it's not as bad as you freaking think it is. It's a good time. All right, it's no Mad Max Fury Road, but it's a fun little poke into the, you know, into a weird post-apocalyptic world that happens to be the whole world's full of water, and hence the name Water World. Okay,
so yeah, go check it out. You know, I'll say it here. It's not a bad film. It's not an unenjoyable film.
No, it's a good time. It's not Shawshank Redemption, but it's good.
Ninja Steve says, don't you have a PS4 Pro? PS4 Pro, I don't think PS4 Pro played...
Nope, it only will do 4K. Digital 4K. It won't do disc 4K.
Right, so you have to rip it
somehow
and then move it over to your PlayStation.
Yeah, 40 gigabytes of data you got to rip. Like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So we'll not do UHD Blu-ray, but it will do UHD content if you're, like, renting digital, you know, whatever.
Right,
so.
Right.
It's really stupid. Like,
it is.
Sony pushes so hard for digital formats and disc formats. The fact that they didn't do that with the Pro is so dumb to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. But then again, I don't even get... I'm not that worked up. Most of my world is pretty good at 1080p. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like
I'm totally fine with what I've got, unless it's something like this where it's like, all right, the only way you're going to see this content is if you're going to get a new player.
Yeah. And in this case, I have to weigh, is it worth it for Waterworld and 40 extra minutes? As much as I love it, probably not. I just want to see this cut somewhere, and I'll go for quick and dirty. I don't need to, you know, doesn't need to be fancy. And no, chat room, I have not seen the SeaWorld Waterworld show thing. Mm-hmm. I hear that's good and is actually a lot of fun and great. And somebody said they were taking it out and redoing it or something was going on recently. I don't remember the deal. But I've never seen it. Brian, have you seen it, the live thing? I know Tom did.
No, huh?
Okay. Nope. Well, apparently it's okay. For one of those live show things that happens, you know, like Vegas used to do with, what's the pirate hotel?
The Treasure Island?
Yeah, the Treasure Island thing they used to do outside. They don't do it anymore, but they used to. It's like that. Kind of a big, you know, big hoo-ha out in the water, which is kind of cool. But I've heard it's good. Anyway,
I've walked by it. I think I even sent you a photo of it when I was there.
Of the Waterworld one?
Of the Waterworld one, yeah. When Tristan and I were out there, we went to Universal Studios when we were out there for BlizzCon. Mm. And I sent you a photo standing outside the Waterworld Arena or something like that.
I remember that now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
All right, well, I'll just, I'll send him a photo of it. I'm not going to go watch the thing. did the live walkthrough of The Walking Dead, which was great. Like, you know, it's a monster haunted house kind of thing where you walk through and people dressed as zombies jump out from corners and crap like that.
Well, according to Tom Merritt, the Waterworld thing was the best thing he'd seen there. So maybe you missed out.
No, I think I did miss out. Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe.
That pirate show in Vegas, by the way, boy, they stopped. You know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, that thing was great, right? Because like the ships would move back and forth and there was like swashbuckling and ropes going from one side to the other and people having sword fights.
Mm-hmm.
Then they changed it to the Sirens of TI,
mm-hmm.
and it became one long running joke about seamen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just one right after the other.
And weren't there like topless ladies doing it or something?
No, because this was out on the strip. They couldn't do that. But there were. Thinking of the figurehead on the front of the ship that is a topless woman. But apparently a fake topless woman. That's a figurehead on a ship is okay.
Yeah, for some reason I had in my head that they tried to go all. Maybe that's what you're talking about. But they tried to go all.
Yeah,
sexy
they just
with
tried
it.
To go all racy, and then it was just sad. And then they decided, hey, you know what? We can make more money by putting a CVS and a Senior Frogs mm-hmm. in the front of TI. So now the ships are stationary. There's no show or anything, and it's just shopping and Senior Frogs.
Yeah, it's like any other casino front. The thing I liked it at the time was, or I thought I liked about it was. The fire, they'd had fire stuff, and it would make it would make you feel like you went from nothing degrees to 1,000 degrees in like a second and a half.
Absolutely. You still get that with the Mirage next door when the volcano goes off, because they've updated their volcano to do like a big fire show. They do with fire what the Bellagio does with water.
Oh, that's cool. That's great.
Yeah, so that's worth checking out when you're out there in April. And the one thing the TI has going for it that is head and shoulders above other hotels on the strip is the fact that they've got a Marvel exhibit there. Mm. Hopefully they still have it in April, but it's called the Shield Station.
Mm.
And it's a walkthrough. You've got like a giant Hulk Buster. You've got like the costumes worn by all the characters. You've got like a big Hulk arm that you can practice doing arm wrestling with.
Mm-hmm.
bring Purell. But it's actually a really cool walkthrough exhibit that's got the whole Avengers Shield stuff and a great gift shop at the end.
I assume Marvel could keep a contract like that going. It's fine, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Both times I went there, it was busy. Mm. I did the exhibit once and then I just went to the gift shop, on another trip. And, it was really busy. So I think people, you know, the heyday of superhero movies still going, people still loving those superhero movies, still loving Marvel. And so,
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's make sure that you love it even more. Like, if you stood in front of a fire volcano, would you feel it on your one cheek that got numb, or is that all better now?
Nice segue.
Yeah, I like it.
Still numb, by the way. Mm. Still, the lower part of my cheek, like down here, it still feels the same way it felt last week. A few hours after the dentist visit, so I called. I'm going to do another call today. I told you about the call last week, last Thursday, and then they were off Friday and I didn't call yesterday, but I don't know what they're going to do. It's not like they can say, oh, well, we'll inject a bunch more crap into your cheek and let's see if it goes away.
Maybe they send you to like a neurologist or something after that. Like,
oh, sure.
Yeah,
great.
Which is a real fun. Yeah. You don't want to do that. Nobody wants that.
I guess I could. Ugh.
You'd need a referral.
Ask an attorney friend to call them on your behalf.
Yeah. Yes, this is Brian Ebbett's attorney. Or you can
my
fake it.
My cheek is my life. I need my cheek to work.
Just call as Ken Kratz and say that my client is very upset.
If you look at Exhibit A, this is my client's cheek before the dental appointment. And,
Oh, the Ken Kratz gift that just keeps on giving. Does this song go through your head a lot? Right here? Hold on. This?
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly does. That's why I typed that. I was kind of hoping you'd go that route.
Yeah.
It's you know, I should say it's not uncomfortably numb. It's numb. It's...
But it's annoying because you're not used to... It's not a thing you're supposed
annoying,
to have.
It's annoying, but honestly, until... Kei Kitsumi mentioned in the show, I'd started to get used to it. I'm actually starting to get used to it. Mm. This won't hold up in court, right?
Yeah. No,
I can't use this against me if I say that I'm starting to get used to it.
Nah, we don't. This isn't going anywhere. We don't record this or anything. You're fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Don't worry anyway, about it. Anyway, so it's, yeah. So, I mean, it's unpleasant when I think about it, but I'm starting to get used to it, unfortunately. And maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should get mad. Mm. I should get mad and. Get even. Call the bulldog.
You're not very litigious, though. You're not the litigious type.
No, I'm not.
Neither am I. People always talk about how Americans are always suing each other. That's not me, man.
No.
I don't know who it is. I actually think it's a minority that would go crazy with suits.
You and I are who America should be.
Damn it. That's right.
Not the litigious, gun-toting, deep-fried food-consuming...
Well, sometimes.
Okay, maybe you still.
Make America us again. That's what we're saying.
That's right. Yes, there we go.
Make America MOA. There you go. MOA. That's a hat I'd wear. All right. That's it for... Oh, yeah, that's it for that stuff. Let's get into the news.
Yeah.
You got plenty of time for that now. Here we go.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by America's Next Top Podcaster. It is still going strong. New episodes air every Thursday and Friday on the iTunes feed. You'll hear the contestant submissions on Thursdays and then the real shows on Fridays. We recorded a new one last night. And boy, as always, it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of stress. It's a fun, stressful show that we're enjoying greatly. Subscribe on iTunes or Google Play by searching for America's Next Top Podcaster, or just go to the website, americasnexttoppodcaster.com, and you'll find links to everything there.
We're having a blast, so go check it out.
Yes.
Last night was rough.
It was rough, but man, I applaud Jury for... He's really good at basically saying the things that we're kind of afraid to say at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, like he pulls the Band-Aid off quickly and kind of lets us get to the discussion.
He must be a nightmare to live with. I should ask Ashley how's it going.
Maybe we could get Ashley to come on some Tuesday instead of Jerry, and we could get the lowdown.
Yeah, let's get the full skinny from the wife on how things are really going inside the Jerry household. Okay, let's dive into the following things. Delta and Coca-Cola have combined their efforts to apologize.
Mm, okay, good.
They put creepy napkins in the airplanes, and passengers are very upset about this. So here's what happened. The two brands have reportedly apologized for providing passengers with controversial napkins that encourage travelers to, quote, write down your telephone number and give us your phone. Sorry, give us your plane crush.
Give it to your plane crush.
Yeah. Or I guess, sorry, not so, give us. Give it to your plane crush. So they wanted you to look around the cabin and go, ooh, I like that lady. Write down.
Yeah. Hey. And then put your phone number on a napkin. Ugh.
And then pass your napkin to the lady who may or may not be married or otherwise committed. Like, what are you doing? This is the dumbest idea. They did it as a little, you know, Valentine's Day sort of thing. But anyway, the napkins, which feature Diet Coke logos, are printed on one side with the words, because you're on a plane full of interesting people, and hey, you never know, unquote. You never know. Anyway, the other side said...
The lady in 2F doesn't need to know.
No. It says, be a little old school and write down your number and give it to your plane crush. Again, you never know, they said. Both Delta and Coke have apologized for the napkins, with Delta admitting they missed the mark on this one. We are sorry for that and began removing the napkins from our aircraft in January, the airline told The Insider. Coca-Cola told the outlet that they would be replacing the design. We sincerely apologize to anyone who may have been offended. We worked with our partners Delta to begin removing the napkins last month, and we are replacing them with other designs. Unquote. I think what would be funny here is if they shipped all the current ones off to some poor country and said, so they don't just throw them away, you know, you need to use these napkins, and so they're all looking at them going,
the Super Bowl loser shirts, basically.
What is plane crush? They'll never understand. I don't even know what voice I was doing there, but I'm sure it was offensive to somebody.
Some third world accent. That's your third world accent, ladies and gentlemen.
Someone's very upset at me now. It's fine.
Yeah, I'd be curious as to, couldn't the sweetheart candies fall into the same category, though? Be mine. And are we just getting a little too...
Yeah, but this thing was saying, hey, notice anyone on the plane that's a hottie? Write down your number and hand it to them. Like, they're giving you instructions. Those candies just say, be mine, and that's it.
Right, but they're not... You know, it's not saying... Under penalty of FAA regulations, you must put your phone number on this napkin and give it to the lady in 2F.
It's probably their intention. What you're saying is probably what they meant by this.
Yeah, I mean, they probably meaning like, wouldn't it be funny, but no one will do this and it's totally cute.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably.
Hey, for the next 2 hours, stare uncomfortably at the woman's chest next to you in the middle seat.
Yeah, if they were doing that, or if they, you know, described what the, maybe you want to be a part of the Mile High Club. Like, if they'd have gotten real creepy with it, fine, but yeah, I guess so. But when's the last time you ever...
Delta, our bathrooms fit too. Wink, wink.
They're not big, but they're not small. Like, did you ever, as a kid or otherwise, give one of those candies to somebody? You never did, right?
No, but we were in school. We had to, you had to go buy those 24 pack of Valentine's Day, Scooby-Doo Valentine's Day cards and do one for every person in the class.
Yeah, I remember that. Boys and girls, you had to give it to everybody.
Boys and girls. It was really weird.
Yeah, and everyone had a box. You make a box at home, like a shoe box with a hole in it, and decorate it.
Or decorate a lunch bag or something.
Yeah, bring it in. People come up to your desk.
Curious, people who have kids, is that still a thing? Like, Joe Techcore says that they still do that.
Okay, they got to do that. That's pretty traditional, I think.
It is just weird, though.
It's a little weird, right? I mean, maybe it's supposed to teach, everyone loves everyone, so show your love to everybody and write a thing. Like, it's not meant as, obviously not a romantic thing, but... I can see him still doing it.
You know, they do it so that you don't just target the one cute girl in class and she gets 25 Valentines while Brian over in the corner gets zero. So as I can see, it's a self-esteem thing, but it just seems like such a dumb thing, because you're not going to like go and say, I got a, I got a Valentine from Mark. Oh, Mark must really like me.
Yeah. It's like, Mark gave one.
The same Valentine to everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently put an M on each one.
All 60 kids got a card from Mark. That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why they would do this still. It's a weird, it is a little weird.
It's just a waste of money.
Yeah.
Parents have more things to spend their money on. Is it, you know, can we maybe learn some, I don't know, spend another hour on cursive instead of doing this?
Yeah. And I liked the, they don't even do that anymore. I don't think they teach cursive anymore.
No, they don't teach cursive. Oh, here, here. Take an extra hour and really teach kids the difference between there, and there.
Yeah, good idea. The triple there, triple
threat. Or how do you use, let's have a class on using punctuation in social media. How about that one?
The difference between T-O and T-O and T-O-O. That's an important distinction. And they still screw it up all the time. We have a president who doesn't even know how to do that right.
Right, right. So, loose and lose. There's a difference. Those two words have two different meanings.
Right. Were and were. Oh, no, your and your. That's the biggest egregious one. People are always mixing those up. Right. Anyway, mine were always a shoebox. I had a little slit in the front or in the top. And then I would decorate it the night before. Slot, rather, not slit. Let's not say slit. And then I would draw on it and create all kinds of Valentine-y kind of stuff as a kid, and then I'd take it in. And it, for me, it felt like more like you're showing off your box. That sounds bad, too. You're showing off your Valentine receptacle.
Yeah, so showing off the slit in your box. So you heard it here on TMS. This is why we have the mature tag.
There's no immaturity tag. It's the closest we can get. All right, check this out. This is pretty good. A lawyer forced the evacuation of an entire courthouse after what they call an abundance of bed bugs poured out of his suit.
Oh my God, I'm picturing Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas just having like this.
Like all his worms and caterpillars and centipedes and stuff just pouring out of him. An Oklahoma courthouse forced to evacuate after a nonchalant lawyer, this is the best part because the guy doesn't even give a poop, arrived in a courtroom with an abundance of bed bugs, that's their words, the word abundance, falling out of his clothing. Rogers County Courthouse was evacuated. They literally restate the same thing about four times here. Then there's a quote. Hard to imagine someone who doesn't know, you know, that some bed bugs are crawling all over them. Certainly in abundance, says Walton, who's part of the Sheriff's County thing. A courthouse user noticed them, and she could see could visibly see something crawling on the back of his neck, which was later found to be bed bugs. He had also placed his jacket over the file folder, and his jacket was moved, and bed bugs were discovered there after he moved his jacket. I don't even think he cared, says head of security Mike Clark. Pest control was called once the building was emptied of people, and he did not give a crap. So I don't know how you, what bed bugs? Let's just get to the origins here. Like, is that just you just sleep in it? I've never had a bed bug, I don't think.
I haven't either, thank goodness. But yeah, I mean, you stay in a bad hotel, bed bugs get into your clothes, you bring them home to your house, they multiply, all of a sudden you got bed bugs.
Let's see.
I think you can get rid of it with some, you know, some cleanliness issues. I think you can kind of.
You can maybe clean your sheets once in a while or something.
Yeah.
How can I avoid them? When you're staying in a hotel, place your bag or suitcase on a stand rather than the bed or floor. How do you know if you have a problem? You see the bugs themselves. They shed their skins, or you see their droppings in the mattress. Ugh.
Yeah. So. Do you, as a court reporter or the court illustrator, do you just draw this guy just constantly scratching himself like
he's going? Where were you on the night of a June 5th, 4 p.m.? Yeah.
Oh.
Your Honor, I rest my case. That's horrendous.
Objection, Your Honor. Okay, what's your objection? No, I'm just objecting to this guy right here. I'm just objecting to the prosecutor.
That's awful.
He's objectionable.
I've never actually seen them, so I don't know what I would do if I did. I'd probably freak out.
They're pretty small, aren't they? Like,
I don't stay in cheeseball hotels, so I don't know if I've ever seen it. I did a hotel once. It was like the worst hotel in Vegas back in like the 90s. We did it because it was super cheap. It was like $30 a piece or something. Mm-hmm. And some of us had to sleep on the floor. And this place was a dump. And the whole time I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to see these famed bed bugs. We're going to get attacked by those tonight. But we never saw anything, so. I don't know.
No, they, man, you know if you get them because you end up with these weird scratches on your abdomen and stuff.
Almost like a claw went across your gut.
Like almost like a claw got went across your abdomen.
Now the truth comes out.
Yep.
Very nice. All right. I would go to court for this next story.
Okay.
A Houston family was overcharged for a pizza from Domino's. And by overcharged, $1,600.
Oh, yeah, that's an overcharge. Well, yeah. It depends. Like, is this one of those places where if it's over 30 minutes, it's free, and if it's under 2 minutes, it's $1,600?
Yes, they missed the fine type there, the small wording. A Houston family said they were charged more than $1,600. That's $1,600 for a Domino's pizza order that should have been less than $20 total. Domino's confirmed officials had looked into the complaint after the family and possibly others were charged thousands of dollars for otherwise standard pizza orders. I can promise you this. There's nothing at Domino's worth $1,600. Maybe their oven.
There's barely anything at Domino's worth $20.
No. Maybe the entire location or their lease is worth $1,600.
Right.
The rest of it.
So obviously it was just somebody who didn't enter in a decimal point, right? I mean, you know, it's like a 16. So if it's more than $1,600 for a pizza that should have been less than $20. I think we're kind of narrowing it down to the fact that it should have been like $16.75.
Yeah.
And somebody just entered in 1625 or 75 and didn't put a decimal point.
Domino's had this happen back in 2014. A Newport, Wales man was charged $307,891 for a $30.80 order. So you're right, just screwing up the decimal points.
Yeah, boy.
Chain said the incident.
If this happened to me, Scott, yeah, I'd be annoyed.
You'd be a little red clay animated creature.
I'd be a little weird looking Smurf in a unitard with a big nose. Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah, he was like a little weird little devil guy in a unitard looking bunny thing. I don't know what it was. But you know what, Chad? Here's a commercial. We'll play a taste here. Let's see here. Let me get the. There he is. That's the guy.
Okay. I can't remember if I'm thinking how much of my memory of the Noid is the actual Noid or that Tinkle character from the Zelda universe.
Oh, right. And there's some similarities. For sure. Okay, there he is.
He hates hot quality pizza.
There he is. He's...
He loves to make your hot pizza ice cold. Call Domino's Pizza and avoid the noise.
I forgot he had this high-pitched voice.
Yeah, me too. I do love the fact that he had good thick-soled sneakers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, in this commercial in particular, he's in the snow, so it's good.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, you got to have that that protection.
He's trying to keep the pizza or get the pizzas cold, and Domino somehow tried to convince us with this cartoon that the pizza would stay warm despite being blasted with ice. I don't think that actually works that way. I think it would be cold. So thanks, Domino's. You lied to us again. Also, they made a video game with him in it.
They made a Funko Pop of the Noid.
Oh, shut up. Really?
There's a Noid Funko Pop, yes.
Let's see. Avoid the Noid video game. Oh, yeah, it was an NES game.
There was a Nintendo by Capcom.
Wow. Let's take a look at this. Hold on. Okay, he's a little Noid guy. 1990. Let me skip ahead some. Do you control the Noid? Oh, you do. The Noid is the hero. Oh, this looks like trash. Basically a Mario ripoff, like the All-Over.
Oh, check
this
out.
Yeah.
In 1989, January 1989, mm-hmm, 22-year-old Kenneth Lamar Noid interpreted the Domino's ads as a personal assault on his character. So he walked into a Domino's pizza shop in Chamblee, Georgia, with a .357 Magnum revolver and took two employees hostage. He demanded $100,000 in cash, a getaway car, and a copy of The Widow's Son, a 1985 novel about secret societies in an 18th century Parisian prison.
What? How is this a real thing?
After a 5-hour siege, basically, he just got a pizza.
How is that guy real? He can't be
He's
real.
Totally real. Yeah.
They gave him a pizza?
Yeah, I think that he...
Oh, he took one.
He took one, yes.
Wow, that is a nutty freaking story. Wow. I never heard that. That's crazy. I thought I was up on all my Noid news.
No. Right. And then the Noid was in, he was on The Simpsons. He was on Family Guy, of course. He's briefly visible in Michael Jackson's Moonwalker video.
Mm.
Claymation, the company that did the California Raisins, also did the Noid.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh.
Actor Pons Marr lent his voice to the Noid. He also was Sauron from the Masters of the Universe.
Really? Yes. That's great. That's great. Now I want to watch. Now I want to watch He-Man. I'm into it.
Moonwalker, you now know everything there is to know about the Noid. Everything.
He didn't. Michael Jackson didn't take him back to Fantasyland or whatever.
To
that was
Neverland.
Called.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Because
I like you, Noid. You're coming back with me. Want to see my chimpanzee?
I like your sexy unitard, there, little rabbit.
Yeah, well, that documentary comes out soon. The big controversial one that was like a big stir up in Sundance is hitting HBO in like less than a month or something. I want to see it. It's called Neverland or something. What's it called?
Yeah, yeah, the one that had the big uproar at Cannes.
Yeah, Cannes and Sundance and all those. Everybody freaked
Sundance.
Out.
Sundance. I'm sorry, it was Sundance. Yes.
Yeah, right here in my own backyard, people freaking out.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a story for you.
Okay.
This man, there was a man.
Man!
Let me tell you a story about a man. He's in Virginia. He's a Virginia man.
His name Jed?
No. He was not a poor mountaineer, and he
didn't no barely... problem keeping his family
yeah,
fed.
Yeah, they were always fed. It's fine. he got arrested, though, because he was projecting hardcore porn, onto the side of his garage. So he was projecting it onto his garage door.
Okay.
Which is sticking out in the middle of, you know, view for
sure.
All the neighbors to see.
Right in his little cul-de-sac, suburban cul-de-sac.
Yep. And this next part I'm not making up. His name is...
Cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac. Ah, look what you did. I'm going to make it worse. His name...
I didn't even try to.
Well, I'm going to make it worse. Antonio Smallwood is his name.
Oh!
Yep. Antonio Smallwood, age 41 of Virginia, was busted for allegedly projecting the porn movie on the front of his door, basically, where all his neighbors could see it. This is according to the Smoking Gun. Yeah, that's right. Smoking Gun still doing detective work out there, I guess. Police were called to the Newport News home after a neighbor reported to authorities that, quote, pornographic material was being displayed. When the officer arrived, he observed a movie involving sexual activity being projected on the garage door of the residence, according to the police report. The cop attempted to serve Smallwood with a summons. You got to summon that Smallwood, son.
Summon the Smallwood.
for screening the X-rated movie, they don't rate him anymore. There's no rating, is there?
Really?
There's no X rating.
Do
they?
Don't they?
No. Only if it goes to movie theaters. The MPAA doesn't touch that stuff.
Oh.
They don't go near actual.
Well, that means they still have adult theaters, don't they?
Do they? I don't know. And if they did, do they still have to rate them?
I don't know.
I don't think X rating.
Yes, this one definitely gets an X rating.
I think.
There's giant ween on screen.
Ween on screen, make it X.
On screen ween.
So wait a minute, though. If there is still an X rating, I think, but it just never gets used. It's always for just some weird, like, Lars von Trier movie will come out.
That's probably it, yeah.
And then they'll go, well, that one's...
Yeah, I don't know. I figure that stuff is so easy to identify these days that it's not like you do need the rating system to say, by the way, this film is X.
Yeah, I think the reason they used to have X was because it was so much less of it.
Right. NC-17 replaced X. That's right, because it's triple X is the... Is there a double X? Like, what constitutes double X?
Because
it just feels like you go right from NC-17 to triple X.
I'll tell you what that is. That's... can't think of his name.
Is it Cinemax?
No. Who played Triple X? What was his name?
Oh, Vin Diesel.
That's Vin Diesel after he lost an arm and a leg. That's Double X.
There you go, yes.
Yeah, I went a long way to get that joke out.
Teenage Vin Diesel was Double X. So it's funny. We used to actually do the neighborhood. Like we'd have a neighborhood party, but we would just basically everybody would grab a lawn chair and we'd go onto somebody's driveway and project a movie onto is usually my driveway and my garage door.
Mm-hmm. We've done that before.
And I always worried about that because it's like, all right, well, what level of movie am I able to show? Obviously, I'm not going to show triple X or anything on the side, but I can't really show like American Beauty or anything that's got any sort of flash of nudity.
No, I think you have to.
What about F-bombs? Are F-bombs bad? Like,
you got to stick to like, I don't know, Indiana Jones or like, you know, a Star Wars movie or some feel good hit.
Something that's exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess even a public performance of a film is illegal, so I shouldn't have been doing that anyway. But,
yeah, that's true. It is technically illegal, although we used to do it all the time, too. We had a big blow up one that we bought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like those inflatable ones. Yeah.
It was our old house years and years, like 7, 8 years ago, but we used to project on that with a not a very good projector. It had to be very dark for it to be any good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These days you can go buy one of those anchor projectors for like nothing.
Yeah, and it's like the size of a pop can and it's like really good.
Yeah, I need to get one just for no reason.
I see, that's the thing. That's the problem.
I don't have any good excuse for it.
Oh, I could probably use this sometime purchases that is
I just feel like it's one of those things that I always want, but I really can't justify it. I have no use for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. I'll think of one. The cop, by the way, attempted to serve Smallwood. I mentioned that before. But the porn buff refused. Yeah. He refused to sign the summons, so he was arrested. Smallwood was charged with obscene sexual display and obstruction of justice, according to the report. He was booked into the local jail. The man is being held without bond. The courthouse appearance is scheduled for March 8th.
Antonio Smallwood, porn buff.
Porn buff.
Porn buff.
I'm porn buff Antonio Smallwood.
Listen, I've got Brandon at Moviegoer as my latest 15 minutes of TV fame.
Yeah.
I'll keep that. I don't need Antonio Smallwood, porn buff.
Antonio. Hi. I'm going to write this as a title. We'll see if it does anything.
Okay.
I'm Antonio Smallwood, porn buff. All right, we'll see if that doesn't goes anywhere.
There you go. Submission has been added.
Yep. That reminds me to tell you fine folks in the chat, that's how you submit titles if you're interested in doing that. That's plenty of you already do, so I probably don't need to tell you. But
Jerry, I've always wanted to be a buff.
That's gold, Jerry, gold.
It's gold.
We're going to take a break, and when we do, two things are going to happen. One, we're going to play a song for everyone at home listening. Mm-hmm. Two, here live, we're actually going to take a literal break because Brian's got to go put something in a pot.
I do, yes.
And then after that, Bill will join us and then Jerry and all that. So that's the plan. We're going to stick to it as close as we can. I don't know why I'm making a big deal out of this. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, really, it's going to be like 60 seconds and nobody's going to have any idea what's going on.
It's not a big deal at all. It's totally dumb that I'm even making it a big deal. All right, so we're going to do that. Brian, will you explain the song that you're going to play before we do that?
Absolutely, yes. Brand new album coming out from a band from Seattle called Ocean Wires. This Friday, their brand new album is coming out. There Never Was a Was. Great title for an album. Comes out this Friday, February 15th. They've released a couple singles from it, Beware the Heartless and Fuel and Reasons, which you can check out online. You're going to hear this other one right now. It's called Fall Into the Boat. Here is Ocean Wires from There Never Was a Was.
Just enough to find our melody.
Hey guys, time to talk about our friends at Pitney Bowes and SendPro. Look, shipping can be complex with all those uncertainties over costs and deciding what carrier to use, plus tracking your packages. Things get pretty confusing pretty quick, trust me. I send out a lot of prints, a lot of tubes, a lot of boxes. I know what a pain this can be. Well, with SendPro Online, it's easy to save time and money no matter what you send. From letters to packages to overnight flats, easily compare your USPS, UPS, and FedEx prices all in one online tool. You can print shipping labels and stamps from your own printer and track all those shipments and get email notifications when they've arrived. Plus, the USPS postal rates increased. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but on January 27th, we just passed this. Rates went up, and since then, you'll be able to access savings of up to 40% off of USPS priority mail shipping and 5 cents off every letter you send just by using SendPro Online. Those rates always go up, so be ready for that. SendPro Online is only $14.99 a month, and listeners can get a free 30-day trial when you visit pb.com/TMS. PB short for Pitney Bowes. That's pb.com/TMS. You'll also receive a free 10-pound scale to help you weigh your packages and accurately calculate the cost of shipping so you'll never overpay. That's pb.com/TMS. Experience the convenience of SendPro Online for yourself when you sign up for a free 30-day trial. Do it today, okay?
Forty-eight-year-old Doris Tart lives on the bleak shingle beach of Dungeness in Kent.
Would that incur any slippery?
This is the Morning Stream. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
All right, we're back, everybody. Hello and welcome back.
Mwah.
All right, punished props incoming. See if we let him in. Oh, he's showing us offline. That could be bad. Let's see if I got a text. I don't know. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Oh, sorry for the late notice. I'm sick in bed today. Gonna miss TMS.
Bill?
Oh, that's Bill.
Oh, no.
That's no good. No one likes Bill to be sick. We like Bill. Well, let me remove him, though.
Too much snow up there in Seattle. That's probably the issue.
Is that the problem? Is the snow? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I haven't been able to let, what's his name know yet, so hold on a second. Kid? Because one of those kids is an it.
Yes.
That's the kid? Okay. Interesting.
Hey. Oh, no. Not the it.
All right.
Oh, shit.
No. So I can be on before I'm ready, or you can wait until I'm ready.
Well, no, that's the whole thing, is I send you the call, and then you just pick it up whenever you're ready. See? There's no, it's easy. It's not a big deal. It was for your convenience.
Oh. Well, look at me. Yeah.
But does it just sit there and ring until he answers?
No.
Yes, it does. Yes.
No, it should obnoxiously, just, it should, well, if you have sounds on, I guess it does. I don't have sound on, so I guess I've taken it for granted.
And I just had to reply to Nicole, oh, okay, I could do recommendals early. All right.
Tell her I screwed up and put it in the group text.
I did.
Okay.
Gosh, darn it. And I can't find XSplit. This is normally
This is all Bill's fault, by the way. Yeah. I want everybody listening to know that,
You're also a little quiet, but so my prediction came true. The only problem with Discord today is he's a little quiet.
That's funny, because I think he sounds good, but I guess I've already turned him up.
Yeah, I have him up to max, but it's just a little low for the WAV files.
Yeah, I mean, I can turn myself up.
There you go. You're better.
Normally, these are the things that I would do as I'm watching Bill to make sure that this goes smooth when I come on.
Yeah. No, I like it. And then don't forget, Ashley streamed last night, so probably a bunch of stuff got changed because, you know, you guys...
These are normally the processes that I now go through.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Why isn't Windows finding XSplit?
I don't know why. Windows sucks. That's why. Here, I'm going to play this.
These are their stories.
I'm terrible with names.
It's Justin Robert Young, who today is just a little icon. That's just how it's going to be.
I'm just not on video. Make fun of my hair, though. It looks like shoot.
Why? What happened to your hair? What's going on?
I'm just kidding. No, because somebody told you to make fun of my hair.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. And I don't know I don't feel good about that, because I think your hair is actually pretty majestic.
I'm just kidding. It's in a really good phase right now.
Yeah.
Good phase.
I saw you in that Twitch Live thing, and it looked extra fancy. Mm. I don't know what you got going
luxurious?
There. Yeah, very luxurious. And it's got that silver streak going, and it's just crazy. It's cool.
Yeah, you like that plug?
Yeah.
I got that plug for yins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard about this. I didn't get to see that part because I had to leave. So what did you end up doing? Did you play that clip?
I did, yeah. Oh. Everybody laughed at you.
Good, because we did the clip that was me thinking Chester Cheetah was a tiger.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Justin said, hey, what's like a clip you guys could do? And I think it was the YouTube version of it because I couldn't find the other one. But that's awesome. I didn't get to see the whole thing, so that's good to hear. And
I'm sure somebody will find the clip of everybody laughing at you being a real goofball.
Complete broken cog in the wheel of time is what I was that day. That was really bad.
Anyway. That's epic.
It is epic.
A broken cog in the wheel of time.
Sometimes I just fart salad my words, and that's what came out this time.
Fart salad.
Mm. All right, see, it's still happening. All right, hey, it's Justin Robert Young. Everybody is here with us a little early. Thank you for your very quick response time. Bill apparently is sick and wasn't able to come to a device to let me know until the very last second. But we hope he's healing and coming together, and all's well for him.
I turned on, this is normally my thing, I come back from the gym and then I get the birds fed and I'm like just doing my normal routine, maybe pour another cup of coffee, have a few carrots, you know, the usual, and then I'll turn on the morning stream so I can like get everything set up and I can know what you guys are talking about in case I want to make a joke or follow some through line. And then I always get nervous, much in the way that parents get nervous when their kids are too quiet.
Yeah.
Like, I get nervous when I hear you guys at a certain tone of voice that says we're not doing the show or I don't hear Bill. Because now that you guys have cut out the song, like, I feel like at any moment past the hour, I could be on call.
You guys
could wrap the first hour early, call Bill early, and he only has 8 minutes of things to say. And next thing you know, I got to be on at 9:08 my time.
Yeah,
so I'm like
keeping you hanging, dude, big time.
So now, but I'm here now. And that's all that matters. I'm glad I've wasted the first 8 minutes of this segment talking about nonsense.
Well, here's the thing. You should never feel stressed about any of that because it's just like the least. I mean, it's a big deal that we have you on because we like doing it, but there's no pressure, dude. You could come on here and go, you guys, my wiener's still out and I haven't finished peeing. I can't believe I'm on already. And we go, all right, cool. Well, anyway, so what's going on? Like, it's just not a big deal. Yeah, it's not. It must be Tuesday.
No, sorry. That's never going to happen. And here's why. not in reference to my wiener. Of course, I'll give you any wiener updates that you'd like on or off the air. But I know that I'm the second guest on the second hour of a talk show.
Yeah.
Having done hour-long shows, I know that anytime you can get out early on the second hour, you will take the opportunity to get out early on the second hour. So there is no moment of me being able to take any second to like even get ready, because I know if it's like, I think my internet's blinking out, then you're going to be like, okay, next week. I'll see you guys later. It's not personal.
It's a sufficiency thing for me. Like, technically, the show's supposed to be 90 minutes. It always was. We're just terrible at hitting the mark. It's always longer. So when somebody says, shoot, the thing doesn't work, I'm like, all right, next guy. Oh, he can't be here? All right, let's do emails. Out.
Next.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Done. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I know. There's no personal element to it. It's just once you've done an hour, I feel like the human body's like, that's good. That was a good amount of time to talk on camera.
Yeah.
Like, anything else takes skill. It takes endurance and skill.
Yeah.
And if you cannot do it, your body never adjusts to the second hour.
Yeah.
Your body can adjust to the first. The second hour, it's like, hey, look, anytime, even if it's the best segment you've ever done, the greatest thing, if the segment included you getting free money, if I came on here and then just Venmo'd you both $500, after a while, you'd be like, I'd rather have the half hour.
Maybe. Like, the way I do it is, so let's say at the top of the hour, nobody shows.
We should try that just to see.
Yeah, we could try. But let's say nobody shows at the top of the hour. I have a very simple backup. All I do is push this button.
Call now.
And people call in, and we have live calls for a half an hour. And at the 90-minute mark, we close it up, we close shop, pull down drapes, and leave. So it's,
yeah, you did just trigger all the people to call now. I know. I do want you to realize
phones
that,
are off, everybody. They're not on right now. But it, so we always have a plan, and I will always go the full 90. But if there's no reason to go the extra half hour of pad that we often end up with, why do it? It's like, no.
Punch out.
We're done. Podcasting lets us do it. We're good. See ya. Exactly. Bye, everybody. All right. I got a question for you, and you can choose to answer it or talk about whatever else you want. But here's my thing. It's not political, not really. Although it came, I don't know, maybe everything's political in the world of the media now, and there's no way to avoid it.
I mean,
it.
It's 2019, am I right?
Yeah,
everything's political.
So the Fox News guy, we talked about it on the air yesterday, and I just wanted to bring it up with you. The Fox News guy, morning guy, who will not wash his hands and hasn't for 10 years. I think, obviously, that made a big noise, and people are still talking about it. And him saying, you know, I don't see germs on my hand, therefore they're not there, and this sort of thing. Do you think he's being truthful at all? Is it possible this guy, and I don't mean showers, I don't mean, you know, sometimes you're going to inadvertently wash your hands whether you meant to or not, but do you think that he has never purposely gone to a sink after he took a big dump at work, dropped a big hoss in there, and then walked over to the sink and then didn't wash his hands ever in 10 years? Like, ever?
Okay. No, I think he was joking. Beyond that, let's all understand something about television. The people that are on your television are not on your television because they are good or smart. They're on your television because they know how to read and their heads are shaped in a certain way that studio lighting bounces well off them. This is the reason why they are on, for no other reason. If there was the greatest, most engaging television personality of all time, and yet his head was not oddly angled like an Easter Island statue, therefore more accurately and brilliantly reflecting studio lights, they wouldn't be on television. They would be on radio or a movie star or something else. So these are not the brightest people on the planet. But that being said, I do think that it was, I do think that he was horsing off a little bit. Although I do think that there are some people that genuinely believe that there is more of a biome philosophy, that they would rather have more germs than to be puritanical about the Purell.
It was pretty funny to watch typically, what I would call kind of the organic hippie types, lefties, going after this morning show righty for doing a thing that's usually the domain of the hippie lefty. Like, wow. I know a lot of people going to Whole Foods any given part of the day. I know a lot of people personally as well who are way into this idea. I never wash my hair. I need to have the biome, blah, 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 like the stuff you were saying. Mm-hmm. And they commit to it in such a way that they're super hardcore and they won't let anyone tell them any different. It's usually that crew who's up to this. So to watch them, you know, verbally go after a conservative morning host who apparently is on some list for some job at the White House. I can't remember what it was.
I mean, who knows? Who isn't these days? It seems to be a pretty high burn rate.
That is the open casting call for the White House, isn't it, Fox News?
I mean, sure. Well, look, I mean, hire who you know, I guess. But look, this is one of those events where the issue doesn't matter. Mm. The clip doesn't matter. The mascot matters. Mm. And that's what this was. You know, there was this dude, some jamoke on the internet that responded.
I've never heard that before. What's a jamoke? I haven't heard of that.
You know, one of these schmoes, one of these momos who are, you know, running around, horsing off, quacking, you know, waddling around like a real silly goose. One of these jamokes.
Okay.
You know.
Jamokes.
All right.
Sure.
I like it.
So he goes and says, there's this New York Times thing about, you know, a woman's relationship with her vulva, right?
Mm-hmm.
Swedish automobile.
Right.
And this and this dude comes in, thundering in, and says, it's actually vagina.
You've spelled it right? wrong. Yeah.
And so, and then he winds up getting into this back and forth. Actually, a lady that I met, I've done the Rebecca Watson's Quizzitron show with, Dr. Jen Gunter, who writes for the New York Times about sex education. And they wind up getting into a back and forth. And this guy just will not take the L.
Yeah.
Like, he's now being, you know, going back and forth with a woman whose job it is to write about sex education, who, by the way, is a woman.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, this guy is not a gynecologist.
No.
And somebody that can say, hey, you want to know what? I might have looked at more vulvas and vaginas than you, which would pretty much be the only way I could see out of this experience-wise. But he won't lay down. Here's my larger point.
By the way, he went full pedantic treadlord, like just hardcore, like we're splitting hairs as to what a vagina is and what a vagina, like he really went to town. Anyway,
look, yeah. Here's my issue. Here's my issue. It doesn't matter that this guy was an a-hole on the internet.
Yeah.
All right. That's just the thing that happens. He didn't lay down and he made a fool of himself and he deserves scorn for it.
Yeah.
But it goes viral because he's not just a jackass on the internet. He's every idiot man who's ever mansplained a mansplain from Mansplainia, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It taps into a larger cultural conversation. And so, therefore, it becomes viral because of that. Same thing with the Fox News thing. That plugged into a couple of things. A, just germophobic people.
Mm-hmm.
B, the idea that, oh, look, he's an idiot doing idiot things. I hate Fox News.
Yeah.
So obviously that's where the idiots congregate.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have further proof. And so that goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what we... I think this always happened, but I do think that we are making mascots faster than we ever have before. We are now... Lucy and Ethel on the conveyor belt line to use a super timely reference that all the kids can spread on TikTok.
My kids will know. They love I Love Lucy. So they would know. But here's the thing though. Like, okay, this is the more important question for me. And by the way, a good line would be making mascots out of molehills. That's the new phrase. Okay. It's pretty good.
Okay. Sure.
Secondly, would you at a party, at a meetup, some kind of press event, would you go and shake this guy's hand? Because that's where I'm stuck.
I would, but I'm a gross person. Like I have a more of a personal hygiene than he was, but I would do it just to gross people out.
I couldn't do it.
I would make sure to arrive at the party 30 minutes before he does. Because that's when I'm going to visit the buffet table and then never again after he arrives.
That's the other thing. Yeah, you don't want to go near the little shrimp plate, dude. He's had his hands all up in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I generally try to be a little cavalier to freak out the germaphobes. I told this story, and I'll get your opinion on it. I actually had the man himself on my jury podcast yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Well, wait, that guy?
Not that guy. This guy that I'm about to tell this story about.
All right.
So I had a friend that is a bit of a germaphobe and specifically doesn't like to get sick. Not so much of a germaphobe like he's going to Purell his hands all the time, but he is always very hypervigilant about whether or not he's getting sick, stopping himself from getting sick if other people are sick. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So specifically in South Florida, I had more of an allergy problem and I would find myself sneezing a bit. He would always look at me with suspicion and disgust whenever I sneeze.
Yeah.
Right.
And said on the show yesterday, like he just out and out never believed me when I said that I had allergies because that's what liars say. His words, not mine.
Yeah.
It's always I have allergies or I'm not contagious anymore because everybody's apparently a doctor. So he distrusts it. I got sick of his side eye at a certain point in my life, and I decided that when I sneezed into my hand, I would rub my hand on his face. I would drape my hand on his face, much in the same way that John Travolta and Nicolas Cage each did in Face Off.
Oh, the face!
You remember that?
Yeah, this.
Yeah, thing. I would just rub it on his face.
Yeah.
And so I asked the audience, and I will ask your audience. whether or not I needed to apologize. Now we are both men. He's a homeowner. We're, you know, married. You know, this is a different time and place. Should I apologize to the man? So I will ask you guys. I made a decision yesterday when he was on the show, but I will ask you guys, do I need to apologize?
No, no, you don't. Because no, I think that that's the fact that you're still friends is all that was like a weird cement that actually held you guys together. This funny thing you could tell people, this great moment of reflection.
Exactly. If it's in the name of comedy, you don't have to apologize.
Yeah, I don't think you have to apologize. I mean, you might.
Now, he wanted to murder me. Like, this is something that, and even in recounting it yesterday, he's like, I'm almost positive. This is an element, a vector of it I had forgotten. I apparently only did it when we were in public. So I knew he couldn't cause a scene.
This is awesome.
Like, I would do it in places like places where you would fire somebody or break up with somebody. That's where I would rub my snot on his face.
Well, I mean, it's foul, and I would have hated it too if I was him at the time. But obviously, he's still your friend. He's not gone anywhere. You guys are hooking up and talking. Right?
Like, well, sure. I mean, but that doesn't mean that there's no room for apology, right?
Well, maybe.
If I have rung. And I will say this, my audience, I am shocked that you guys are not coming down hard on me, because my audience lit me up. Like, it was almost universal that this was a vile, disgusting act, and I needed to apologize. I owed the man an apology.
Well, I mean, our chat room seems to be totally with you on that. They think you should apologize. So we have an audience consensus across shows. I think the reason I'm feeling this way is I've got friendships like this, and now I wonder, you know, would they ever say they want an apology? Because maybe they just wouldn't. Like, you know, like my sister. So this is different because it's family and it's immediate family, so this doesn't quite count. And I don't know if I've told the story on the show. Maybe I have. But my sister Wendy, when she was like junior high age, I was such a jerk. Oh my gosh, she would come home from school and I would throw salt on her chest, and I would like take a salt shaker and just shake it at her chest. She goes, "What are you doing?" I'm going, "Look, it's the Salt Lake, it's the Salt Flats, it's the Salt Flats. Get it? Like,
wow.
Flats?
Wow."
Because she didn't have boobs yet, right? Like, it's total a-hole high school behavior, and that's
terrible.
I didn't know at the time that it really bugged her. It did. Of course it did. Of course it freaking did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, picking, I'm sure, because that's something that's universal that young women have is certainly no kind
body
of
image issues.
Yeah, body image
self-esteem.
Issues.
Yeah, 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 none of that. So she didn't say anything, of course.
They certainly don't spend their days judging how the other girls are developing, only to have the punctuation mark of their day be their brother highlighting their inefficiencies.
Right. So I remember at the time thinking, well, she didn't say anything, so it must not have been a big deal. You know, like, completely dough-headed, rock-headed, idiot boy thing to say. But later in life, it came up again somewhere, and I immediately felt the need to apologize. Like in our 20s or something, and I apologized to her, and she seemed to be grateful that I did it, but it never really changed the fact that her and I always kind of had a fun, goofy, teasy relationship. She loved April Fools and would do all kinds of wicked crap my direction, and I would do the same, and it was always a fun, good relationship, and is to this day. But there was that one time, and I did feel bad about it later. So I guess the question is, do you feel bad about it? And if you do, then you should apologize.
Oh, I feel no remorse. In fact, I would do it again tomorrow if he were in front of me. I still think it's so... What you have to understand, and I can't convey... Even if I was on video, I couldn't convey that there is a face he makes that is just sheer, unbridled rage only by... absolute withering disgust. And it is something that if I could have as an oil painting, I imagine my dream house having a roaring fire and then above it a stately oil painting of that face. I love it so much. So no I feel no regrets. However, this isn't about me, it's about my friend Anthony, and so indeed I decided to apologize because it was inappropriate. I would refrain from doing it in the future. That's a sacrifice I'll make for our continued friendship.
But then that means you had a little, you felt a little remorse then, because that pushed you in that direction, right? Like otherwise
either
you wouldn't.
That was, either that or was an empty apology.
Well, yeah.
No, I feel if it's, and again, this is one of those things where it's like, it wasn't really an issue. And literally when I first texted him about it, I'm like, hey, I talked about how I rubbed snot on your face on the podcast and I asked people whether or not I should apologize. And his first text back was, well, it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it. But at the same time, hey, look, this is about being better. It's about being better.
Yeah, I understand that. Chat room, we got a good way to kind of cap that off. Alex Abisu in the chat room says, what's worse, Jerry rubbing his booger on his friend's face or forcing someone to smell your fart? Mm. I'm kind of torn on this because there's both of them feature a kind of physical assault. But there's something about shoving somebody's head down to your butt and farting on their face and then holding their head there.
Well, that is the thing. I mean, that's the...
if I sound familiar with this...
You're adding a little bit of exposition to that.
You're also doing the most aggressive version.
Right, exactly.
Right? I've been a victim of this from my brother.
You could do the old Dutch oven. Yeah. Where, you know, you with a significant other, you just pull the covers over and you both take one for the team. But
my brother used to do this to me. He would pin me down. He'd go, come here, noodle. And he'd pin me down and he'd fart on my head and then hold my head there for as long as he could before I struggled free. And so that's why I'm so familiar intimately with the experience. It was because my freaking brother used to do it to me. So,
yeah, that one's aggressive. Yeah. I'm very happy that I grew up the eldest of two.
Oh, yeah.
Being a younger sibling seems like a real raw deal.
It can be. I mean, in Nick's case, he got lucky because his sisters weren't the teasing type and they were more nurturing for him. But had he been an older sibling, all bets would have been off. That kid would have
tortured him.
Yeah, it would have been real bad. So, yeah. Well, all right. So you've apologized and you guys are now clean slate. If you ever sneeze next to him again, what's the plan? Are you going to just...
Well, look, we never know the decisions we will make until we find ourselves at that forked path in the woods. But I will pledge to not do it. Although I will say that I have become more of an ADA approved, sneezing into your... Into your elbow, your arm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do this.
I've become, you have to, like, hit the dab.
Mm-hmm.
It's the genesis of the dab, right? It was from somebody sneezing like this and then.
Yep, then they started flossing.
That's right.
I hate that floss so much. If I see someone floss, I
can't. Wait, is it ADA? No, what is it? It's the other thing.
Oh,
who's the one that said what to do?
FDA, the National.
No, not the Food and Drug Administration. No, the
National Administration of Health. The
AMA?
NIM? Was it NIM?
NIM? It was Secret of NIM.
NIM approved?
Yeah, NIM approved. A bunch of Nicodemus approved. Well,
CDC.
Done.
That's
CDC.
It.
CDC.
Center for Disease Control. Right.
CDC approved. Sneeze. I've become more there, so I'd be less likely to do it. Although, really, the triggering instance is that look of suspicion and just deviousness that he would cast toward me initially. That is the sign that we are all the hero of our own story, right? That my version of the story is he looked at me weird, so he deserved to be brought down a peg. His version is, I don't want to get sick, and my asshole friend rubbed his snot on my face.
Yeah, no, you're right. We all tell the tale we're telling from the perspective we have, and he's got his end, you've got your end. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. I've enjoyed today's foray into dirty body parts and PTSD and all
forcing
that.
People to enjoy them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be funny if he did that full... Look, PTSD is never funny, but it'd be funny if his reaction was like, you sneeze and then he runs or ducks or dives behind
curls
the
into a
thing.
Fetal position and rocks on the floor.
Yeah,
or
yeah, that's the thing. He's not like a crazy... I think that's part of it is he's not like a crazy germaphobe in that I think I would like ruin him.
Mm.
But he is a freak about getting sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
You know what? I'm kind of that way. I'm maybe not to that extreme, but yeah, I'm certainly
like he's the kind of dude where if somebody comes in and is sneezing at work, he'll look for a reason to stay out of the office or maybe take it.
Yeah,
like he just
if I'm at Barnes if I'm at Barnes & Noble and I'm using the urinal and some guy comes up next to me as I'm finishing and he uses the urinal and then I go wash my hands and then he just goes right out the door without washing his hands and it's a situation where I've got to touch the handle, I'm somewhere between I'm waiting for the next person to come into the bathroom so I can sneak out the door that way or I'm grabbing a I'm using the paper towel that I just washed.
Wait, you come in. Let me get this straight. I think I heard this wrong. You go in, you pee.
Yeah.
You go wash your hands, peeing. Then you flush it?
No. I flush when I'm done.
You're talking about the door handle. Okay.
I'm talking about washing my hand. While I'm washing my hands.
Yeah. No, he goes.
Leaves.
Yeah, Brian pees. Wiener still out. Goes.
goes to open the door.
Yeah, no, goes to the sink, washes his hands, maybe a little sprinkle downstairs. Once everything is clean, puts the rod back in the pants and then gives the urinal the big boot. Just like he's Kevin Nash. Just a big boot right there.
Yeah. And that's assuming that they don't have one of those new fancy Dyson hand dryers and I'll slip my Schwann's in there when I'm done.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, it dries in 15 seconds. Yeah. And, you know, when you're talking about your wiener, it's probably 5 to 10, depending on how God blessed you.
Wow. Why is Twitch giving us a mature tag? Nah. I don't know why.
Yeah, weird. I had a friend who could pee in 2 urinals at once, and I will not get into the details of how.
What?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, he could stand. So imagine the 2 urinals are separated by like a foot of porcelain or something, or half foot.
Yeah.
He would stand between the two. These weren't the kind with doors between them, but like just open urinals. And he would stand, kind of spread eagle, whip out his unit, and he could pinch it in such a way.
Pinch, sure.
That he could create two distinct
streams.
Streams. And they weren't like all over the place or causing all kinds of issues. It was just two streams, and we just thought that was the greatest freaking thing we ever saw. It was amazing.
I think Egon would warn against that as well. You don't split the stream.
You don't cross them, you don't split them. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I really enjoyed today's time with Jury, and boy, I'd sure like to know if you've got any cool stuff coming up this week, Justin.
Oh my God, do we? So, I'm sure that there are people that are listening right now that are in or around the Austin, Texas area, maybe a little Dallas, maybe a little Houston, you know, maybe certainly San Antone, Waco, all parts around there. I'm telling you now, you got to follow at Night Attack Show, at Justin R. Young, at Schwood. We are putting on sale today tickets for our South by Southwest show. Now, many of you might say, maybe I went down to one of them. There's a free show normally that we do. It's normally at a bar. You know, it's kind of more of a hang than it is like a proper episode. And you're right. But that's not this show. This show is going to be at a theater. We booked a theater.
Wow.
We're selling tickets and we're going to make it worth it. Not only will it be Night Attack, it's a 3-hour show. Not only will it be Night Attack, we're going to have music likely by... definitely by Dual Core, possibly by the Possum Posse, who have done our show in the past.
Oh, yeah.
But also,
Possum Posse.
We are flying in from Las Vegas, Nevada, the Ice Cream Social podcast, which if you have not checked them out, please do. They are hilarious. If you like TMS, if you like Night Attack, then you are going to love them. They are very much of our ilk. They're coming in. Their first show ever in Texas will be at this show. Tickets are cheap. $18, man, for a 3-hour show. Doors open at 2, so we'll probably have a little entertainment going on before then, and it's going to be a great mix and mingle affair. But please go ahead and follow us on Twitter. Tickets, truth be told, to tell a family secret, I was going to set up the ticket links so I could plug it here while Bill was on.
Yeah, right, you're going to use that sweet Bill time. Sure, yeah, I get it.
Bill, screw us again.
But go ahead. Go ahead and check my Twitter, Justin R. Young. You will find it. It is going to be a blast and a half. And the next day, Sunday, we're doing a VIP, the VIP hangover. That'll be at Brian's compound for the first time ever. Strangers, the general public, the VIP public will be allowed to come on over. We're going to do lunch. We're going to do a guided tour of the property, including some stories that Brian has unearthed that we do not want to tell on the podcast because they are insane about the history of that property.
Yeah.
And a little bonus podcast, another crossover podcast with us and Ice Cream Social. So just keep tuned. But if you are in and around the Texas area, March 9th and 10th, that's when it's going to be. March 9th and 10th. That is the first weekend of the South by Southwest Festival. Then it is going to be well worth certainly your $18 for that first show. And then we'll set up a way to figure out how much or if you're interested in the VIP thing.
But, nice.
Go ahead and follow us at Justin R. Young, at Night Attack Show, and at Schwood.
I predict Indian Burial Ground. That's what I think you got going on.
I mean, dude, I'll tell you what. We did this to end the show last time.
Yeah.
Where you texted me a thing.
Yeah.
And I reacted to it.
Yeah, do it to us.
Oh, yeah,
now.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Do it to us. I mean, we won't say on the air, but just send us a thing.
Yeah, I'm just going to text. And I'm going to text this same group chat. That
yeah, do it so Nicole
gets it.
We're
going to get a question from Nicole now when you do this, by the way.
Yeah, that's totally fine. She'll know. But that's okay. She'll know not to say anything. Okay, we're waiting. We're looking at the time. I'm not showing the chat room. It's just the text window. It's in front of me. Mm-hmm. We're waiting. Oh.
Okay, it's sent.
Yeah!
Wow, all right.
That's so much better than what I thought. Oh, that's great, dude.
That would have been my third guess, honestly.
Oh, my gosh. Now I want to say it. I can't say it.
And by the way, that story, it is insane.
Really?
Insane. It sent me down a rabbit hole about finding out, because that trial included an expert that put them away.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, that person is still practicing as a therapist.
Really?
The expert that testified that those things were real.
Wow. All right. This is season three of True Detective is really shaping up for me.
Right?
Yeah, that's insane. All right. Go have fun. Cool. We'll see you later. Man, that's awesome. I love stuff like that. Although I don't know if I'd want to actually like dig around in there, but I'm curious how it turns out.
Let somebody else is digging around in there.
Yeah, someone else can do it so that we can reap the benefits. All right, we're going to finish things up here. Before we do, though, I promised yesterday that I would play another mashup. This came to us from Jamie, of course. Patreon.com/TMS mashups. And he sent over this, which is me. I think this is the final one of me doing the Soma thing. We finished that game last week. I'm done.
The final Soma. Yeah.
I beat it. We're good. Apparently there's some. Oh, you know what? There's three more. Wait, which one's this
three
one?
Three DLCs on. Or something?
Let me see what this is.
Oh, there's three audio
play
three
today. Playing. Gotta beat the buttholes. Oh, was I in the middle of fighting the turd guy? Okay, I think this is a new one. You haven't heard that, have you? That doesn't sound familiar.
They all sound the same to me,
Do
Scott.
They sound the same?
No.
Let's see. This was the ninth. Oh, no, no. So, this must be new. Okay, here we go, everybody. Check it out. Right. Enjoy.
We're gonna play today. Playing.
Gotta beat the buttholes. Oh, was I in the middle of fighting the turd guy?
Oh, shit.
He sees me! Not cool.
I hate him so bad.
Ah, this video game can bite my butthole.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Shit.
Shit. Donkeys!
I really could use a butthole right now, though.
Well, there he is. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. You guys. Go away, turd with legs!
Shit.
Shit. Keep walking! Ah, turd man. Oh, don't look at me. See me not. See me not.
Oh, shit. I turned the light on.
I don't know what to do.
It's like Clive Barker's toilet in here. Here he goes.
Oh, I don't like him. See a butthole? Hate this so much.
Hey, a butthole.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, he scared me.
We're making
Shit. I'm not moving. I'm not gonna move. Oh, please go the other way.
Shit.
Oh,
okay.
I'm so scared.
This room's worth shit.
Shit.
I hate him so bad.
Is he taking his big turd head and going,
hey, turd Ferguson.
Oh, no. No. Oh, shit. He probably heard that.
Oh, shit.
No, no. Giant turd. Oh. Oh, go the other way. Go the other way. Shit. It's coming again.
Oh, hey. What's up, buddy?
Are you a dude or a lady?
I could really go for a butthole. A healing butthole.
Shit.
Shit.
All right, Barnacle Bill. Freaking get a move on. Put some lead on it. Oh, shit. Hold perfectly still. Here comes a turd on a stick.
He'll touch it with his potato wiener.
What is to like about that turd with feet? The journey through the penis. Oh, shit. Here's a butthole. Oh, shit, McGee. What is that? Shit. I don't know what this is at all. It's time, you guys. I have to save and go. Oh, gosh, dang it. Good times, everybody. Thanks for watching.
All right, that's it.
So I gotta get some context here. These last few times I've played the Soma stuff, people are like, what's with all the butthole references? They have these things in the game, these like barnacle things.
Save points.
Yeah, and they're like health, they regen your health. So if you're hurt, you go and you stick your fist inside of this thing and it throbs for a second, then you pull it out and you're all healthy again. And that's just how I think of it. But like the turd on a stick or the two-legged turd man is this creature that's legs. And then the body's just like a big poop. And he can... it's just a terrible game. A great game, but a freaking horrible, horrifying
experience.
Nightmare. And there's one more of those, yeah. And we'll play that some other time. All right. Just hearing that, some of that made me freak out again. All right. Let's... it's Soma, yes, chat room, who are asking. It's Soma. S-O-M-A is the game. And it really got under my skin. That is a good reminder. Now, normally today we'd be starting whatever our next game is. However, I am so chock blocked full of crap today to get done for way too many people that I have to push that stream. I don't know if I'll have a makeup for it, possibly, but there will not be a Scott or a Frogpants Plays today at the normal time. I have too many other things. I have phone calls, I have meetings, I have one with Brian later. Like, we have so much stuff today, it's insane. However, that's okay, because we just finished Soma last Thursday. Maybe what we do is we take a little bit off there and start our next business on Thursday. And what will that be? I don't know yet. Probably, people want me to watch another scary one. I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure it out. We'll know by then. But I'm just letting you know today, you're not going to get any of me being an idiot. What else? Is that all I had? That's all I had. Did you have anything else going on you want to mention?
I had nothing else going on. Like I said, we're waiting on one last thing for the Vegas announcement. I think we're going to announce that as soon as we get the thumbs up. So if you're not already in the Discord, the Viva TMS Vegas Discord, make sure to jump in there. I think you can get to it still from the VivaTMS.com website. VivaTMSVegas.com. Let me see if there's not a Discord link there. So
we can put that in real easy. We should
That in. We can. Yeah, I totally can. I'm just trying to figure out what the do we want to make it public join? I guess only people who know what this is are coming to it. So
yeah, that's true. And if anyone is dumb, we can kick them out.
Yeah. Got an instant invite, copy, paste. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. You can do it that way. There's a permanent invite on the Frog Pants page in general and on the TMS page. So if you'd rather do that, you can. It's a permanent invite to the overall server. I don't know about the channel, but.
It doesn't matter. I mean, the server is all you need because you'll end up in the lobby.
Yeah. So you can just copy that one if you want. But either way, it's all over the website. You can find it. And you should come in there and join us. And we will have an announcement very soon, 73 days away. Plenty of time.
No kidding. Yeah, you're looking at that page too.
Seems like a short time. But
73 days.
Plenty of time for people to plan their stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just enough time for us to make it happen. So there's that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like 45 days is kind of what people say is the optimum time to buy your plane tickets. Mm-hmm. 45 days out from your flight. I usually get them earlier than that. But
oh, my gosh. Somebody captured us dabbing.
Yes, I saw that.
That's terrible. Can someone send the part of the movie or the part of the movie, the part of today's recording in a clip form where I want to make a shorter version of that GIF where you and I are synchronized, because the last one we nail it. Look at that last one. Boink. Oh, that's so good. All right. Anyway, more on that soon. Hopefully tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully.
So excited. All right.
Hopefully. How about a request, Scott?
Yeah, please. What do you have?
We're getting to this one. And Bob Peterson, if you're listening, free hotel room or whatever other aliases you use on our server, maybe time to pull the ripcord. Andrew wrote in and said, I know this is super short notice, but my dad is coming home from the hospital and they are bringing hospice in. We don't know exactly how long we have left with him. If you could play a cover of The Old Man from Celtic Thunder, if not, perhaps a cover of an Eagles song. He loves the Celtic Thunder style of music and the Eagles. Anything would be greatly appreciated at this time. And Dad, I love you so much. Mm. That's from Andrew. He did update it a day later saying that Dad never made it home from the hospital.
Oh.
But he would have loved whatever we decide to play. So, Andrew, we are sending so much love out to you. So many tadpole hugs and so many positive vibes. Thinking about you and hoping that you love this song. So, so sorry to hear that. All right, Lemonheads came out with an album. You remember the Lemonheads from the 80s and 90s?
Evan Dando. Yeah.
That's A Shame About Ray and their cover of Mrs. Robinson. Mm-hmm. Evan Dando came out with a new cover album, Versions 2, came out this last Friday. It came out like 4 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's just as good as their first cover album, which was just plain Versions. On there is this great Eagles cover. It's Take It Easy. Here are the Lemonheads.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back now. You hear?
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women on my mind. 4 that want to owe me, 2 that want to stone me. 1 says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. And take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say maybe. I gotta know if you're sweet. Take it easy.
Of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Rookapalooza.